Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. It is quite more ordinary that we read the gospel lesson that you have already heard this morning from St. Matthew, the fourth chapter, on the first Sunday in Lent, which is 6 weeks from today. It is a rather dark lesson about temptations in a season reserved for confession and restraint. But telling the story of Jesus chronologically, as we do in the narrative lectionary, it makes most sense to read it today. Last Sunday, we dealt with the baptism of Jesus, and immediately after his baptism, he is led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Please note that the Spirit of God has a hand in this wilderness wandering. Satan is not in charge of everything, even though Satan believes Satan is in charge of everything. Satan is just looking for opportunities. And it is Satan's mission to destroy. It might be one person at a time, like a young man who falls victim to a bad drug deal in Rochester, Minnesota in the last week. Satan may choose to destroy hundreds or thousands at a time, lacing illegal drugs with fentanyl or trying to convince us that vaping is a safe alternative to smoking. Good night. Satan can kill millions at a time, as in a Holocaust. And this devil, just like in our scripture for today, can be so tricky. Two friends meet on the street. The one looks so sad, almost on the verge of tears. And the second friend says, "Well, what's wrong today? You look so glum." First friend says, "Well, I have a story. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $50,000. Second man says, "Well, that sounds pretty good." He says, "No, wait, I have more. 2 weeks ago, my cousin died, and I received $95,000 tax free. And the second friend says, "Well, this story actually sounds pretty good." He says, no, wait, I've got more. "Last week, my grandfather died, and I inherited almost $1,000,000. And the second friend says, "Well, what are you complaining about?" He says, "This week, nothing." No matter how much we have, we seem to always want more. We might be good at baseball, very good at baseball. So good, we can be a major leaguer and play with very good teams, making millions of dollars, but that's not enough. And so we choose to cheat so we can gain an edge and maybe win a World Series or two. Once lived in a small town. A good hometown boy had some businesses there, a clothing store and a shoe store. Businesses very good for that town. He decided to close those businesses so that he could invest in a business in a larger town nearby, thereby leaving two empty storefronts in a town that could not afford empty stores. I went to him and asked if the clothing and the shoe business had gotten so hard that he was losing money on those stores. He said, "Oh, no, I'm still making money. I can just make more money in the larger city," which is what he did, at the expense of his friends, the neighbors that he'd grown up with his entire life. Temptation is going to attack us from both the inside and the outside. Certainly, Satan gave Jesus his best shot in the wilderness after that 40-day fasting. The third temptation is the one that deals with greed. Satan brings Jesus to the top of a mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and says that he will give Jesus these kingdoms if he will but fall down and worship Satan. Liar! As if the kingdoms of the world belong to Satan and they are his to give to anyone. On the other hand, I don't think Satan minds lying. He quite enjoys it in trying to get us to participate in his evil schemes. Three temptations of Jesus. The first is a temptation of a physical nature. That is, do you need bread after being hungry so long? Jesus turns it into a matter of trust. That is, we live with bread to be sure, but we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. A second temptation is that of power. Will God actually send someone to swoop you up if you were to jump off the top of the temple? Jesus says that it is not a matter of power. It is a matter of testing. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then, of course, there is the temptation of greed. Jesus turns that into a matter of worship. We will not worship a liar and his lies. We will worship the Lord our God, the Lord only. Now, none of us needs to pretend to be Jesus. None of us is Jesus. We will all be tempted and we will all succumb to a degree. But that is not license to succumb to temptation. We read in St. Matthew, the next chapter, chapter 5, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now everybody knows that is impossible. It still is the goal. We know that we cannot withstand every temptation, but it still is the goal to withstand every temptation. Even if we can't be Jesus, we do well to model our behavior after that of Jesus. Like Jesus, we will be tempted physically. In fact, 3, maybe 4 of the 7 deadly sins listed in the Bible are physical temptations. Lust, gluttony, sloth, which is an extreme laziness, and very often envy. How many times a day are we tempted physically? 2 weeks from today, there will be a Super Bowl played. Alas, without the world's greatest team yet again. I am told that there are some people who tune into the Super Bowl just to watch the commercials. How many of those commercials appeal to our physical needs? This year, a 30-second commercial for the Super Bowl will cost upwards of $5.5 million. I have read that one primary candidate for president will be spending $10 million on one 60-second commercial, perhaps to upbraid another candidate who has secured a 30-second commercial. Now, if you are intrigued, go ahead, tune into the Super Bowl and watch the commercials. How many of them appeal to your physical nature? It is the advertising agency's goal to get us to buy their products whether we need them or not. And if they can appeal to our base necessities, our physical needs, they likely are to be successful. We all need food. We all need clothing. Jesus does not say we don't need bread. He just reminds the devil that there's something more important than bread. And that is every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we will be tempted physically. We will be tempted by power as well. That temptation of power is played out on the world's largest stages every day. A power of a president or a senate or a speaker of the house. The power of a rogue nation. I suppose even the power of deciding whether or not we're in the royal family. We will be tempted by greed. My observation is that that is our chief temptation. in a time of abundance, and we just want more. If the devil were to take us to a very high mountain and show us just one small kingdom of the world, it would be very hard for us to say no. But one did. Jesus was able to withstand every temptation, and he did it by standing with God. Three phrases, one from Jesus' answer to each of the three temptations. Every word that comes from the mouth of God, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship God and God only. Temptations will come to us, to be sure. But this is not Satan Sunday after all. Every Sunday, every day of the week, belongs to God and God alone. Amen.